This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It is Thursday, January the 9th of 2025. Temperature has moved up a bit in the last hour. Now 13 degrees here at our studios in downtown Wausau at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Wind chill factor of 4 degrees above zero. The time is 9:07. It is hour number 2 of the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. Coming up in this hour, we're going to have a conversation with a young man who goes to school at Wausau East High School, is a member of their high school boys basketball team, is also a member of a very successful high school football team. And big game tomorrow night, inner-city battle between Wausau East and Wausau West. Both teams off to great starts in boys basketball this season, and we're going to hear from Jaden Garrett, who is one of the Wausau East Lumberjacks, off to an 11-1 start this season. We'll have that coming up. Also, at the end of the program, we will have our daily history lesson, let you know about some famous events that occurred on this date in history, talk a bit about some of the famous people who are celebrating their birthdays. We will also acknowledge some special events being either celebrated or at the very least acknowledged today. And then we always wrap it up around, 9:56 or so with our number for the day and our number for the day quiz. And Pat Kreitler was quite taken with our number for the day quiz. We had Pat on in the first hour. He was saying, well, what's going on there? And, yep, I basically put Ian under the hot light to quiz him. And not only that, but also keep score. We keep track on whether or not he gets it right or wrong every week. And, of course, give him three choices for the number for the day. So based on the math, should get one out of three right. That's 33%. And if you are able to get better than 33%, we consider that a passing grade. If you get lower than 33%, that's a failure. We send you off in shame at the end of the week.
Yeah, I don't want that.
But we also say that passing is not good enough. We want a winning week. We want more right than wrong.
Absolutely.
And 3 out of 5 is more right than wrong. And then the best week ever is 4 out of 5. And we're still going for that perfect week, 5 out of 5.
Absolutely.
So so make your bets now. Probably, no betting. Please, no betting. But we'll have the number for the
make
day.
Make your predictions.
Yep, exactly right. You're hearing the voice of our in-studio engineer, producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. Going back to the daily history lesson, something interesting yesterday my mom pointed out, we were talking about the days in history yesterday, and we were talking about Elvis's birthday was yesterday. Well, my mom and dad were actually, they got to watch a movie about Elvis Presley as he, I can't remember, I don't think she told me what it was called, but they were having an Elvis movie, a marathon on a TV because it was Elvis's birthday.
Right.
I told her that was one of the days in history, so it's nice when, things come together like that.
You're exactly right.
Elvis is one of my favorite musicians.
What's your favorite Elvis song?
Oh, that would have to be... Blue suede shoes.
Very good.
That's one of my favorites. I also like the Jailhouse Rocks.
Yeah, so you're the early Elvis kind of guy back in the true rock and roll era.
Was there an early Elvis and a later Elvis?
Yeah, he had basically an early Elvis era. And then back in, and then like in the late 60s, he had what's called the Elvis Comeback Special. It was a big comeback special. He had a concert that was aired, I think, on NBC. And then through the late 60s, early 70s, he was able to sort of reestablish himself as a music superstar before his death in 1977. So,
well, there you go.
That was, yeah, he had the early, then he was basically the early Elvis, then he went to the Army, and then there was the post-Army Elvis and the movie Elvis, and then after some of those movies, he kind of refocused, I think, more on the music after that. So he had different chapters of his illustrious career.
He did a little bit of everything, didn't he?
He certainly did, so absolutely.
And what is the topic for today's number of the day?
It is...
Or are you going to call an audible?
No. I'm going to use this one because it's ripped from the headlines, actually. Mark Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg, number for the day. So we will have a little Mark Zuckerberg at the end of the show, and even a little bit more on it. It is involving, he had a video announcement the other day talking about some changes with fact-checking on Facebook.
Oh, I heard about this.
So it had to do with that video announcement, something that people noticed on it. So we'll
so stay tuned. It should be an interesting
it
number.
It should be an interesting one. Also, coming up this morning, there will be a funeral service for President Jimmy Carter. The 39th president of the United States died on December 29th at the age of 100. The funeral will be held at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And as the conclusion of the tour, for lack of a better term, started in Georgia, came now to Washington, D.C. And I think as we take a step back and think about the life of this man, I saw a good line that I think kind of hits it on the head, according to an article on the Bulwark, bulwark.com. Jimmy Carter will be remembered less for the specifics of what he did during his time in the White House than for his long, loving marriage, his unwavering faith, and his dedication to public service. And I think that's a good epilogue for a life well led. And also, he is one of the rare presidents, and it has a lot to do with the fact that he was able to live so long, but one of the rare presidents that was able to redefine his legacy.
Oh.
Because when he left the White House, and it was before you were born, but I was very young, I remember when Jimmy Carter was president, and it was a hard time. Let's not sugarcoat it. It was very rough. My family, my dad lost his job during that time. And in fact, you know, I remember being happy when he lost. I was only 9 years old. Based on what I know now, it was not a good thing. But it was, I can see easily, based on living through that as a young person and seeing family struggles, why a change was made. But then in his post-presidency, he was able to redefine way people think of him. He was able to use his voice in so many good ways. And I do think, yes, he was able to go around the world and be somebody that tried to make elections fair in some of these areas. Mm-hmm. But I do think that the lasting image that people will take, I think, for years to come is the man with the hammer, building houses for those less fortunate, with Habitat for Humanity, to be able...
Jimmy Carter was well on his way to becoming a true humanitarian.
Well, I think he's been one for many, many decades already. I mean, few presidents have been able to do that, to be able to make their post-presidential era bigger than their presidential era. And I think he's been able to do that. And it's something that is something that doesn't happen very often. I'm somebody that right now on my nightstand next to my bed is a biography on John Quincy Adams. He was president back in the early 1800s, 1825 to 1829. And I read an article talking about how Carter basically is the first president since John Quincy Adams that was able to redefine himself after the presidency. And for those folks who don't know much about John Quincy Adams, of course, he was the son of the second president, John Adams.
Mm-hmm.
But John Quincy Adams, like Jimmy Carter, had a one term in office. Like Carter, he lost by a significant margin to Andrew Jackson in his run for re-election. So at the end of his term, he was thought of as basically a failed president. But after a short time back at his home in Quincy, Massachusetts, his neighbors decided, without even asking him, to elect him to the House of Representatives. So he then went to the House of Representatives, and he became a hero in the lower house of our government. Wow. He was one of the stalwart abolitionists during that era. He was in Congress for 17 years, fighting the powerful slave-owning faction of the South, opposing constitutional moves, unconstitutional attempts to limit discussions of slavery. He represented the captured enslaved men before the Supreme Court in the Amistad case. There was a movie based on that in the last decade or so.
This is why I love learning about history, because there's always something you can learn, even if you have a basic understanding about history. There's always just the little details you can always find that really helped to make it more interesting.
And in fact, it's been more than a decade. In fact, it's been more than a quarter century since Amistad. That movie was in 1997. In fact, John Quincy Adams in Amistad was played by one of the great actors of our time, Anthony Hopkins.
Oh.
But basically, you know, John Quincy Adams in the judgment of history, his commitment to being a stalwart against slavery, being somebody that defended in the Amistad case, all of the work that he did post-presidency has outshone his presidency, which, like Jimmy Carter, had lots of accomplishments, actually. And I've read a lot about John Quincy Adams. But like Adams, Carter's presidency had a lot of accomplishments, but the economic issues that occurred during that era, the Iran hostage situation that occurred during that era, overshadowed everything else. But like Adams, Carter is going to be remembered more, I think, for his post-presidency, and especially today, the man that he was at that funeral service being held in Washington, D.C. Coming up, we're going to sit down and have a conversation with Wausau East senior Jaden Garrett as Lumberjack boys basketball team 11-1 on the season heading into their game against Wausau West tomorrow night. So Jaden Garrett coming up next on the big on the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. Every Wednesday evening, one of my favorite parts of the job is during the big high school sports show, along with Jeff Gress, is being able to talk to some impressive student athletes from our area. And last night, we had a chance to sit down with Wausau East senior Jaden Garrett. He was a member of the Wausau East playoff football team and now is one of the starters for the 11-1 Lumberjack boys basketball team. And started off our conversation by asking Jaden about the expectations. Was this expected to be 11-1 at this point of the season?
Okay, going into the season, I think a lot of people talked about it. I think like people always, I can't wait for the season to start. Yeah, I think we just had high expectations going in right away, and I think we kind of made those things happen immediately. I think we kind of set the tone early just with practice and stuff, mm-hmm. and like being loud and having great communication and stuff like that. And just we really kind of worked on defense a lot because I think that was one of our struggles last year, just kind of straight defense and just kind of man-to-man pressure and stuff like that, being in the help defense a lot. And I think just kind of fixing those things from last year, I think that was really what carried over.
Real quick, before Jeff jumps in. You bring it up, defense. Are you and your teammates getting a little tired of hearing about maybe East doesn't play a lot of defense?
I know, yeah. We hear it a lot from, like, just kind of different social medias and stuff like that. So I think we really kind of put our foot down on it early.
And, you know, your journey, you've played logged a lot of minutes. You've been around basketball forever with all your dad's coaching and AAU, the youth level, into the high school realm, all that stuff. So, you know, and you're the point guard, the floor general, you know, another on assistant on the court. You know, that's just valuable, I think, for a team to have that structure and that foundation. So you get a lot of, I'm sure, extra analyzation and discussions with the coaches because they live in your house, things like that. When, for your team right now, you know, you've seen a lot of games. You're 11-1. You guys are doing outstanding. You're sitting in a great spot in the conference. Good games coming up. Nice wins the last two games that you've had against Rhinelander and Rapids. What right now do you think, like, hey, this is our team. This is what I really like about it. And then maybe something like, hey, we want to make this nice long run. We have expectations. We have goals. We don't want to be done early. We want to finish out the season at this level, whichever, you know, everybody wants to get down to state. What do you think your team also, so one thing you're doing really well on right now, and one thing like, hey, we got to tighten this up. We got to fix this a little bit.
I think one thing we're doing well right now is just kind of getting turnovers and kind of finishing in transition a lot. I think Jesse Nepkazic, Charlie Cayley, like I can name every guy on the team, you know. We kind of do a good job on defense, to kind of getting turnovers, and when we get turnovers, we get a lot of points. You know what I mean? That's kind of why we score in the 80s most games, you know. Yeah. And so I think that's kind of one of the main reasons what we're doing pretty well right now. I want to say what we're doing bad, I think, is just kind of maybe more communication and kind of taking just things maybe a little bit more serious, and especially in practice, I think. And I think we kind of set the tone early today. Because I mean, we were lifting early, like 4:45, I think. So practice starts at 5:30, I think. Yeah. So we were lifting at 4:45, and just kind of hard grit, kind of got to get it out of there real quick, and then it would just stretch and you'd be right back onto the floor. You kind of immediately just straight defense. You know what I mean? So we just kind of work on it. We just kind of work on making things kind of more serious, I think.
Gotcha.
Your process or progress as a high school basketball player, you've had the opportunity to be a varsity player for 4 years, and that's a great opportunity. How have you changed as a player over these years? What are the areas that you know your game is probably as well as anybody else. What are the areas that you've made the biggest change in, maybe the biggest improvement in?
I think my voice, I think, at the end. I think my freshman year, going into my freshman year, like I never really learned what struggle felt like, I think, in a sense. So, like, my freshman year, like, it was just straight struggle. Like, I turned the ball over. Like, I was scared to shoot the ball when I was wide open, I think. And, like, my sophomore year, I kind of progressed a little bit, but not where, like, I really wanted to, you know. In my junior year, I got a little bit better, I think. So, I just kind of progressing, I think, with my voice and just kind of being kind of that leader on the floor as well as that coach, you know.
Well, and in that leadership role, I was going to ask that because, I've watched games here, whether I've been in the gym at times or watched the Rhinelander East one the other night. And being a leader is never, it's never an easy thing, especially when, I mean, you got some buddies on your team that you guys have been around a long time. It's, because, you know, even it's hard sometimes because as much as you're friends, as much as you guys see eye to eye, you can see differently at that moment. What do you take as your role as a leader, how important is it? How vocal do you need to be? Or is there some moments where, I got to take the reins on this. I'm the point guard. I know what we got to run. I got to settle the guys down. Is it a roller coaster a little bit? Is it all over the place a little bit? You got to jump to different situations? How would you describe it as a leader?
I mean, it's hard at times, I think. Just kind of finding that happy medium just to where what are you doing? And then just kind of, hey guys, we got to be like relax a little bit. I think talking to the underclassmen a lot more now, I think because we do like a two ball handling drill or whatever. And I do it with a junior and I just kind of coach him up and hey, you're good. You can do this. You know what I mean? And just kind of being that kind of voice, I think. Just kind of doing that with the juniors, I think, and this, a little bit of the sophomores because we have some sophomores on the team too. So it's just kind of doing that with the underclassmen, I think, is what really is going to set up and I just kind of build that culture, I think.
Again, we're talking to Jaden Garrett, a senior from Wausau East High School, our student-athlete guest this week on the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO. I want to kind of touch on the football aspect because, obviously, it was such a big year this year for Wausau East to get back to the playoffs, to be able to do something really special. Obviously, it seems as though your basketball is always been the number one sport for you, but what has football brought to you over the years at Wausau East, because I imagine that building process has to have been special as well.
Mm-hmm. I think going into the season, I think people expected us to win two games, I think. And I love football so much. Like, as much as I love basketball, like, I love football so much. And, like, I miss it a lot, I think. So, like, 2-7, that's probably what people were thinking we were going to do, I think. And those first three games were, like, kind of hard games, I think. And we got it done. We were 2-1, I think. And I think I can name the Mozini game. That was a pretty hard one, I think. We kind of set the tone pretty early, I think. They came back a little bit. And we had to, at the end of the day, we had to do like a little goal line stop. I think we got it done. And just that was a real confidence booster, I think, going for the rest of the season, I think. And we ended, 6-3, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
And, I mean, losing in the playoffs, obviously, by like 2 points, I think. Not what you want to do.
Score,
you know,
41.
I know. Yeah, we probably could have started out a little bit better. I think. But I mean, I can't dwell on it now. You know what I mean? Now that's all over. But I don't know. I love football so much. I think it pretty much kind of carried over to the basketball.
And we'll have more with Jaden Garrett, Wausau East Lumberjack senior, again, part of some very successful teams both in the fall and now here in the winter. More to come after an information update here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com. You can be me, and
I'll drink all the time. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Continuing a conversation from last evening, Jeff Gress and myself talked to Wausau East senior Jaden Garrett of the Lumberjack boys basketball team, 11-1 on the season, heading into tomorrow night's big one against Wausau West in the Wisconsin Valley Conference. And Jeff's continuing the conversation with Jaden Garrett.
You've done a lot of basketball, the group you're currently with. Obviously, you and your dad being part of the East program for a while here. Goals. Pretty simple, I think, what you probably want to establish. I mean, you've seen it build where early on when you guys had a lot of youth at East Basket, in the East Basketball varsity program, you're just trying to get games, trying to learn, trying to build that confidence, like you said. Then, you know, you get a taste last year of where you want to be and where you want to get more of, and now I'm sure it's even more this year. What are some what's the mindset of this team, and what do you want to accomplish when it's all said and done this year?
We're trying to go all the way. We're trying to go to state, I think, and just kind of game experience is kind of what's really helping right now. We played back-to-back games like Friday, Saturday. I think we did that twice now. We played Merrill, I think, a conference game, which is, I think, we won like the way we were supposed to, I think. And then we went to Kakana, I think, which is an hour away or something like that. And we played Little Chute, which is a really good team, I think, a really good team. I could compare them to a couple of guys, but I think we did that twice now, you know what I mean? So I think just kind of doing that kind of game experience is what's going to lead to state, you know what I think, you know what I mean? Because in the playoffs, that's what you're going to do. You're going to play Friday, and then you have a Saturday game at like 3 o'clock, you know what I mean? So I think just kind of that game experience is what's really going to help us.
And how much fun is this part of the season? We talk about the different conferences and how they align there. You know, like the Merrillwood starts off right away with a lot of conference games. The Valley starts to play a non-conference game, some games that can give them some playoff leverage, and then they get into and right now, Once Christmas break is over, the thick of that conference season just seems to start coming about.
It comes all the way.
So How much fun is that? Because Chad and I talk on air, off air, that this is one of the stronger Valley boys top to bottom you've seen. There's no night off. Teams are coming at each other, and you're trying to fight to stay at the top, get to the top, but you can't sleep and fall and not come and do your job any given night because you're not going to be up there if you don't have that consistency. How much fun is it to play your conference schedule coming up? What do you like about it? You've done it numerous times.
I think the competition's a lot harder than it has been in the past few years. I think, you can't take a game off. I think yesterday, Rapids kind of came in thinking they were going to beat us. Like, they were on their home court, thinking they were going to beat us, I think, and it was kind of a struggle, I think, early in the game. And we kind of put it away again in the second half. This conference is great. This conference has a lot of really good players. I can name a lot of good players on this team. I think this is probably really good conference.
With your 4 years in after completion of this year, what do you? You got a place that you hate to play in the conference that you just don't look forward to? Like, I gotta get up for this because it's just not, you know, whether it's a place you don't like to shoot in, whether you know the crowd's gonna ride you. Is there a place that's becoming tough?
That's a hard question.
I know.
You're gonna give them bulletin board material right here.
No. I mean, or is there a place you love to play?
I guess I could say Marshfield's a little weird. I think their lights are yellow. I think.
Yeah, see,
I
know, there's nothing wrong with that.
I don't think I'm the only one saying that.
It's not a fun place to even broadcast a game.
Yeah, I think Marshfield's a little weird. Merrill sometimes too, because they have their student section. I think West Everest is a little. I don't know. I can really name a little weird thing about everybody.
And along those lines, do you have a favorite team that you and the team get up for? Because it's just like we see these guys here. We do this. We know these guys. I'm assuming I got an idea what you might say, but do you have a favorite rivalry over the years that you've just formed? Because maybe they could play the kids in the AU. Maybe you've seen them in other tournaments all the time every summer for the last 4 years.
I mean, I can't not say Wausau West. I think I played with Griffin Lang, Bennett Mattson. I think I played with them in AAU. I heard their broadcast on here too, so they probably want to beat us some on Friday. You know what I mean? So I think that's a good rivalry there too. We beat them twice. I was about to say yeah. They're probably not forgetting it, and they're probably gonna want to beat us some.
Well, the thing about that game coming up on Friday is that. I've been around this a long time. I can't remember where both East and West are off to such good starts this season. Yeah. Obviously, last night was a little disappointment for the Warriors, but at the same time, they're still playing great basketball, beating Stevens Point on the road already this year. As you look at Friday night's game, what is Coach saying? Yeah. What are you guys talking about in terms of a game that really – not only is it East-West, but it's also two really good basketball teams.
Yeah, no, they're playing good. I mean, Wausau West is that's a solid team. They're playing well these past couple of games, I think. So I think going into what we're trying to solidify is kind of just energy and like intensity, especially on the defensive end. There's going to be a lot of screaming, I think, there. So we're playing like band noise and stuff like that too, just kind of set the mood a little bit. So I think we got to have this kind of good 2 days of practice here, and then we'll see what happens on Friday.
Do you enjoy having the home game first? Or would it be better going, because I know sometimes it's like, yeah, we practiced here. Let's keep in comfort of our gym. Let's get that one and we'll work on the other one. Or would you rather go on the road, try to pull that one off?
I think it's a good time to have it at home first, I think, just to kind of set the mood early, I think, with us, and then kind of going over there. You know what I mean? I think it's still like a home game. You know what I mean?
Pretty right. Much. Yeah, you're not going too far. You're going across the city.
It's just across.
You don't go right on the bus. The river. Go to West, do you?
No, we do not. No, we do not.
You talk about, we talked off air a little bit about coming from practice right away. So it's in your mind. You talk, you've logged a lot of hours and in working out and getting better at your game. And one of the things I hear a lot, which I think is a credit to the program and the time and effort they put in, is, people just be talking to me like, yeah, there's just a ton of East kids at the Y. There's a ton of East kids at the Y. And this is even sometimes when you need to get extra shots. Or you come from a hard football practice and then you're going to get it. I think that's a big deal. I think that you're noticed that way because it says that really committed to that off-season workout time. how do you get, like, are you guys calling each other? Are you showing up? I mean, it's just a lot of East kids. Why is that such a thing to be out the downtown Y practice?
Yeah, I think after practice, I mean, everybody pretty much gets like a couple, like, 50 extra shots in. I think everybody kind of stays after practice to kind of do their thing. We play 2-on-2, 5-on-5 sometimes, you know what I mean? And we'll open the gym on Sunday. I think we have great assistant coaches. Coach Kramer, I'm supposed to shout him out.
You better hear,
I'm supposed to shout out Coach Kramer. So, there you go. Yeah, I mean, I could name Mitch too. From West, actually. Coach Neronis, that's what he's supposed to call him. So they'll open
the gym. I didn't know he was there.
Huh? No, yeah, wow. He's on the coaching staff.
I did not know that.
So
I learned something new.
Yeah, I think those two specifically kind of open the gym on Sundays, I think, when they're over there free, because they're always free. Yeah. So it's just kind of that good kind of extra practice that we're able to have.
Let's step away from the basketball for just a few moments. What's your favorite class at school?
I don't know. That's hard. Maybe physics. Besides all the hard like equations and stuff like this, I have a cool teacher there, and I have a couple good friends in there too. So that's pretty fun.
What do you like to do to get away from it all? Because obviously you're very busy. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot going on in your life. But if you were to step away from your sports activities and your school studies and the such, what do you get away from it all with?
Probably some video games, I think, probably as much as probably a lot of other people would probably say the same thing.
That's a very popular answer. Do you have a favorite one?
Call of Duty, I think. Yeah, I just got the new COD 6.
I was just going to say, we like to call it COD in the video game. I only know that because I listen to middle school kids talk. I don't play. Go ahead.
I think COD 6, I think, is probably my favorite game right now.
Well, and you know, we're talking off air. You want to share the college you chose to go to?
What
you liked about it so far?
I committed to Northland College before the season, I think, pretty much. I went like probably a week before the season, I think, Northland College up in Asheville, Wisconsin. I love the area there. It's kind of that hometown vibe I was kind of looking for in the season, I think. I was stressing like all throughout AU, I was stressing about like, who's going to pick me up? You know what I mean? I just want somebody to kind of notice me, you know what I mean? So just Northland College kind of came in. We had a couple phone calls. I went in to visit there. I loved my experience there. I love the coaching staff. I love the players. And I'm just really excited for the next 4 years of my career.
Do you have, you said you liked physics. That doesn't mean you have to major in that.
No.
Do you have, are you kind of just open to whatever? Or do you have like a area of expertise you want to start looking at and focusing on because it's something you'd like to do in your future after school?
I think I want to study kind of business and real estate, I think. I think that's a kind of a cool thing to do. I think is a kind of a nice way to make a lot of money. You know what I mean? I think real estate is probably what I'm going to major in. I think business and finance or something like that.
I don't think people realize the amount of weight that goes on the shoulders when you're going through that process. Because when we've talked to different student athletes here, how much did it take off your shoulders once that decision was made that you know what the future is? There was a lot of stress involved in that, isn't there?
Yeah, I think throughout AAU, just again, like I was just thinking, like there would be coaches like on the sidelines just kind of watching. And like right after like tournaments and stuff, I would just kind of go on my phone and check like Twitter and stuff like that to see if there anybody kind of DM me. And then there wouldn't be too much, I think. And so I was just kind of stressing over it over and over and over again, you know what I mean? And so like I go to a few camps in the summer too. And I think that's kind of what really kind of put my name out there for a little bit. And that's kind of how Northland kind of noticed me there, you know what I mean? So that is just I was just kind of stressing over it all season, but it got better.
Interesting.
So I'll ask you the sentimental question.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, it's a good one. You can speak from the heart on this. So we had your dad in the hot seat over here earlier in the season, and we asked him, you know, what's the biggest deal about coaching your son? And I thought he gave a fantastic answer, loving answer. It was great. So now you're in this seat.
All right.
You've had your dad for a coach for a long time, not only at the varsity level, but through AAU, through some of your youth basketball. And obviously, sadly, as time goes with graduation, that father-son coach type of thing isn't quite the same because you're not on the sidelines together with that stuff. I guess number one, how awesome has it been to have your dad coach and join this journey along the way with you? Because I think it's neat when you can have your dad in that aspect.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think throughout like all school ball, I think he's always kind of been there, just every single tournament in fourth, fifth grade. You know what I mean? He's always been there. I still have a little note from him that he wrote for me and like for my first tournament, I think, for school ball. And I'll give you a little story here. So last year, last year I think we played Madison Memorial, and it's a game we should have won the game. You know what I mean? We were up like 4, I think, with like 30 seconds left, and we lost by like 2 points, I'm pretty sure. And so we're all getting on the bus, I think, and my dad was sitting right here. I think he goes, "Jaden, come here right now." And he kind of gave me this like whole like spiel. I think it, like, you're just yelling at me, and I won't lie, I kind of cried a little bit. So then he sent me back to my seat. And I was just kind of getting down to myself, just kind of tearing up a little bit. And then eventually, like, I want to say like 10 minutes later, he brought me back. And the first thing he said, he was like, "Jaden, like, I'll quit coaching basketball, like, if it means you're going to play better." And I just kind of looked at him. I'm like, why on earth would you say that? You know what I mean? And he goes, like, "Cause I love you, son. Like, I'm good. Like, I would quit coaching basketball if it means you're going to play better. Like, that's how much I care about you. And that's how much I want you to succeed." And I think it was from that, like, that point on, I'm just like I got to do this, you know what I mean, like, for him, like, you know what I mean, I got to have like a better relationship with him, cuz I won't lie, like, last year was kind of it was rough at times, I think. Last year, like, I mean I would talk back a little bit, cuz like any father son kind of thing would happen, you know what I mean? So I think we're doing a better job now, just kind of finding that happy medium and just kind of thinking like okay, I got you and you got me, you know what I mean? And so kind of that was kind of a sentimental moment there, I think.
That was part of our conversation last night with Jaden Garrett from Wausau East High School, senior for the Lumberjack boys basketball team. You can hear the entirety of the discussion plus the entirety of the show at WXCO.FM. Click on air. Also, you can go to civicmedia.us and click on shows, and also you can subscribe as a podcast at Spotify, Google, and Apple as well. You can subscribe to a Big High School Sports Show, and also this show and all the shows on the Civic Media Radio Network. The time is 9:48. Coming up, it's our daily history lesson and our number for the day quiz. That's straight ahead here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:52 here on the 9th day of January of 2025. The sun is shining here in North Central Wisconsin at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. 13 degrees is the temperature. It is day number 9 of 2025. There are 356 days remaining in this year, and a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. In 1994, following a speech to NATO leaders in Belgium, President Bill Clinton was given a saxophone from Dinard, Belgium, the hometown of the instrument's inventor, Adolf Sax. On this date in 2002, the United States Department of Justice announced it was going to pursue a criminal investigation of Enron. On this date in 2007, Apple's Steve Jobs announced the iPhone. On this date in 2013, for the first time since 1996, no candidates were elected to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. On this date in 2018, the first same-sex marriages took place in Australia.
And on this date 3 years ago, in 2022, actor and comedian Bob Saget died after experiencing blunt head trauma from an accidental blow to the back of his head, likely from a fall. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Joan Baez, great singer, especially in the 1960s, 84 years old today. Jimmy Page, legendary guitarist of Led Zeppelin, is 81. Actor J.K. Simmons, he's done plenty of different things in his career. He was on...
famous for his role as Jonah Jameson in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies, and also in the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies as well.
Exactly right.
Phenomenal actor. Just,
and he was on The X-Files as well.
Mm-hmm.
J.K. Simmons is 70 years old today. Actor Jolie Richardson turned 60. Dave Matthews, of the appropriately named Dave Matthews Band, is 58 years old today. AJ McLean of the Backstreet Boys is 47. Can you be a Backstreet Boy if you're 47 years old? Be a Backstreet Man.
You'd be a Backstreet Boy in your heart.
There you go. Duchess Kate Middleton is 43 years old today. And Nina Dobrev of the Vampire Diaries and the Perks of Being a Wallflower is 36.
You guys see how the Backstreet Boys are still going pretty strong?
Yes, they
today.
Are. They're still out there.
So is NSYNC.
Yes, they are. So those of us who remember them when they were younger, we want to stay younger as well.
So, oh, yeah.
And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO.
Happy birthday.
Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Choreographer's Day. It is Balloon Ascension Day. It is Healthy Weight, Healthy Look Day. I don't know about this one. Play God Day. No way should be playing God.
Well, I think somebody is.
Unless you're George Burns in the movie.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
No. That's the only
I
one.
I remember that movie.
That's the only one. Only George Burns can play God. It is Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. It is Word Nerd Day. It is Static Electricity Day. During the winter, you get a lot of that static electricity.
Oh, yeah.
It is Shop for Travel Day as well. All right. It is time for our number for the day.
Yep.
Our number for the day quiz. We give Ian three choices. Based on the math, you should get one out of three right, 33%.
That's right.
That is always the minimum goal. You have to be above 33% to have a passing grade. If it's below 33%, it's a failing grade. But we want more than that. We want a winning week, which is more right than wrong, 3 out of 5. His all-time best week is 4 out of 5, and we're still striving for that perfect week of 5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember what the topic was?
Mark Zuckerberg about the fact-checking speech he made.
Yep, that's exactly right. All right, our number for the day is the value in dollars of the wristwatch worn by Mark Zuckerberg during his video announcement about ending fact checkers on Meta-owned social media sites. Oh, so boy. When he made his announcement earlier this week that he was going to end fact checking, because doggone it, it was too hard and it was too biased. So anything goes. But he was wearing a watch. Apparently somebody noticed this.
Okay.
And the value of that wristwatch worn by Mark Zuckerberg during his video announcement about ending fact checkers on Meta-owned social media sites.
Okay.
Is the value of that watch $100,000, $500,000,
$900,000? $100,000, $500,000, or $900,000?
Yep. How much was that wristwatch worn by Mark Zuckerberg worth?
It's an expensive watch.
$100,000, $500,000, or $900,000.
You know, I'm just going to go with my gut here. I'm going to say $900,000. I'm going with C for this one. It's my final answer.
All right.
I'm going to go C today.
Okay. The value in dollars of the wristwatch worn by Mark Zuckerberg during his video announcement about ending fact checkers on Meta-owned social media sites is... $900,000.
Yes.
So you've earned a passing grade for this week.
And now I have a chance to get a successful week tomorrow.
So you're 2 out of 4, which is very good.
Boy, that's an expensive watch.
It is a very expensive watch. So we'll see if you can get a winning week tomorrow. Hey, have a great rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Thursday, everybody.
And join me tonight, 6:50 for the airtime. Wausau West Hockey at Wisconsin Rapids. Matt and Air on Air coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.